Welcome to the Kings Road Podcast. I am your host, Justin Yance, and I'm here with my co-host,
CD Sant.
There you go. And we just got done watching Rampage, which I was at in Miami, Florida. Interesting show.
How was the arena, first off?
The arena was, like, it wasn't completely full.
I saw, like, the back, like, tapered off or something.
Well, it's an interesting arena because it, like, it just has one half. It's a small building. It's really small. Like there's no in back of the stage. The stage is just a wall. There's nothing in back of there. Like everything, so it's almost like in a prism, like, you know, gladiator times type of thing.
Gotcha.
Like it's going around.
How were the people? Were they real fans? Were they hot?
When I first got there, there were two like people that there were New Japan fans. They were telling me about they used to go to the New Japan shows and they were telling me, you know. So I started to ask him and like, you know, what do you think about Danielson, this and that? And they were like, yeah, they want to see Danielson and Omega, Punk and Omega, you know.
Everybody wants to watch.
Yeah. So they wanted to see that. But then when you got into the crowd, it was kind of mixed because the guy next to me didn't really understand. He didn't really understand ROH Danielson. Like he was kind of put off a little bit by, you know, the grappling and stuff. Okay. And when Suzuki came out, it wasn't the pop that I thought it should have been. It was like they didn't know the music. They kind of just, like, they were excited.
It did kind of feel like the Kaze Nin Are part didn't get the pop that it got in New York.
Well, they did pop for that part.
I mean, not at the level. At least I also feel AEW has a problem with miking the audience correctly because they were only a few parts in that Suzuki Danielson match where I felt that the crowd reaction matched what should have been from the get go. Like, whenever Danielson would just scream during the match or whatever, they got really hot for that. At least that's what it looked like.
Yeah, they were super hot. That match.
Okay, so let's talk about the buy-in, right?
All right. We get to the arena and everything. I go upstairs. Like, you know, I had to buy a Punk shirt because I was just like, I have to. Like his shirt. That's the only shirts they had that and the Adam Cole shirt. They didn't even have a Danielson shirt.
I mean, his shirt is kind of anyway. It's like the American Dragon is back. He never wears a shirt. They might as well just
he wears a white shirt.
They might as well just sell a white shirt and say it's Danielson merch. Yeah, like nobody wants to buy a shirt that the guy doesn't wear. Because at least Punk, he doesn't wear a shirt half the time. He wears a hoodie. Yeah. But Danielson clearly is wearing a shirt and he's opted to refuse to wear his own merchandise.
He doesn't like his own. But Punk had two shirts. He had the black one and he had the white one.
The black one is lame. It is lame.
The white one, I was like, this is a cool shirt. I have to get it.
Yeah.
An Elite shirt, but it looked so lame. It looked like, you know, I don't know. It just looked cheap to me.
The shirt you're wearing is the shirt of 2021.
It's very well made. I mean, the material is good. I was impressed with the shirt. So then as I'm standing there, I noticed that Kip Sabian is there with his
the box gimmick.
His box gimmick. So my friend and I are there and he goes, he's an actor. So he goes, he writes on the back, time equals change, my actor friend, my actor man.
Man.
Then he takes a picture of it, you know, and I'm like, I was like, kind of just sitting there, I was kind of like expecting, I was just like, this guy's kind of too regular.
I mean, bro, like, I remember when we went to Arthur Ashe, like, I'm walking with my friends and stuff. And then, like, when we walk in, like, Steph and Vic, like, they're, like, total jobbers. They're like, oh, it's Kip Sabian. And I'm looking at Steph, it's like, are you marking out for Kip Sabian? You with me and you're marking out for Kip Sabian? Are you even get the fuck back here. So anyways, some fucking jobber with a box on top of his head.
Well, I don't understand what this gimmick. What is the gimmick? So did he get, because he got his ass kicked by Miro, he now wears a box?
I think it's, you know, the gimmick that everything is more over in a box. He's trying to get a job, like, with Bruce.
Is his storyline going on with, like, is it like on Dark and Elevation? And I don't know,
and I don't care. It's like, it's whatever.
After, like, that's over.
Bro, why are we talking about Kip Sabian right now?
I don't know, so let's move on. So then somebody tells us that Cody is downstairs, you know, doing pictures or whatever. So I go downstairs, my friend, you know, we meet the security guard. And one of the security guards goes, you know, oh, talk to him, he knows. So we talk to him and he goes, oh, no, it's after. So he sells us, he says, you know, I can help you out here, you know, for like $20. And I'm like, all right, $20, it's not bad. You know, so he gives us the stupid wristband. He's like, oh, yeah, don't put it on while I'm here, whatever. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm still putting it on. So the show ends, and we see him. We see him again, and we're like, you know, where is this? He's like, oh, go down that way. You'll see it, you know. And we look, and we're like, wait a minute. There's nothing here.
Then so we walk. A question about Cody, like, that you weren't able to take a photo of Cody.
No, he had already finished. That's the thing we found out, is he did once the show started, it was over.
So tell me, so it kind of sounds like the security guards were trying to hoodlum money off of you guys.
Yeah.
Right, after the Cody photo op ended.
Yeah. So let me finish. So then, you know, so we wait. We go after the show. We're waiting for the meet and greet. And the guy says, oh, go that way. So we go there. We're like, there's nothing here. And then we turn back and we see he's gone. So we start asking the security guard. We're like, okay, this guy sold us something. Then we talk to another security guard. Look, this guy sold us something. He's like, oh, you're here for the meet and greet. He says, oh, just go down through the double doors. And we go in the doors. It's the locker room. And who do I see? It's Minoru Suzuki. Proud and powerful. They're all hanging around, like, you know, after the match or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm like, let's try. And then Proud Powerful, you know, Santana comes up or whatever. He's like, no, man, you can't be here. And I'm like, what do you mean? We've got these bracelets. He's like, no, man, I don't know what happened. So we see the security guard, the AEW official security guard. Like,
oh, shit.
He's like, you guys got ripped off, man. I'm like, yeah, we know that. So then we find the other security guard. And my friend is like, so I'm talking with one of the fans or whatever, because they're all like camped out there waiting for, you know, people to come out. You know, it's really stupid. As we're waiting, Minoru Suzuki comes out because he was, you know, walking out of there. And a fan goes up to Minoru Suzuki and he's just like, hey, can we get a thing? He goes, no. And then the security guard comes out, and I'm like, oh, wow. And he had such an intense presence to him. And like, I was like, you just knew not to say anything to him. But this stupid fan says something to him. Like, hey, can we get a picture? And he's just like, no. And then he's escorted out of there. So then we wait. And I'm talking with some more of the fans. And my friend goes upstairs and talks to one of the head security guards. And we're finding out, and they're like, yeah, we know who the guy is. And they're talking to him. The guy's trying to deny it the whole time. and everything. And then he's like, you know, we're kind of just like, well, just give us the money back. So security guards like sitting there wasting our time more and more. And then we're just like, so eventually then he's going to Zelle us the money. My friend gets the Zelle. He like really hesitant to give him the thing. We're dying with a guy like named Darnell or everything. And he's like, he's probably friends with the guy. So we end up getting the money Zelled back to us. And one of the security guards is really pissed off. And like, I don't know, he's probably got fired. But anyways, that was our escapade. We got to be, you know, let into the locker room for 2 minutes. It's just standing there. And there's like a bunch of photographers and everything. But, you know, it doesn't really look, because the building is so damn small, it doesn't really look like a locker room. It kind of just looks like, you know, one of the areas where, you know, it looks like one of the private halls you would see in a hotel. Mm. So it's kind of lame. So that was that. So we ended up getting the $20 back, but that was quite an ordeal. Our seats were really good. A guy didn't show up till like after the Danielson Suzuki match, and I was kind of like, dude, you missed like the greatest match. But he's like, well, I just got the tail end. And I was just like,
no,
dude, you missed the greatest match.
This isn't a WWE match where all that matters is the last 3 minutes of the match.
I don't know. So that's but it was an interesting kind of mix of crowd. You know, like you saw there were some smart fans. See, there are fans that didn't really get any of that. And then you could see a bunch of first timers that like, you know, had never been to an AEW show before. I did talk to one guy after the show, and I said to him, I said, do you think Wyatt's coming? And he says, well, we don't know, because he said last time we were here, they were in Miami, they debuted Malakai Black. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, you know? So he thinks that he's going to show up and Dynamite. I don't know. There's no proof or anything of that, but, you know. I don't know. He does have a point. I mean, Malakai Black did show up there, and I don't think that whatever the Daniel Garcia match is going to be that long. I think he's just going to squash him. So
probably
they could, you know, they could do something like that. But it was a good show. You know, they actually had merchandise this time. You know, the first time I went in Charlotte, you know, all they had was AEW shirts, and I was like, I don't care about the company's logo.
Of course.
I want to see a Punk shirt. I want an Elite shirt. Give me something. So I think they fixed
it. I felt the show was okay. Yeah. I felt the Rampage itself wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't that great.
I've already told you this. I feel that they really need to stop putting their hottest matches first and not on TV. Like, for one, they had one commercial break after the Punk and Seidel match.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to only have one commercial break, like around the 30-minute mark or whatever, you might as well have had the Danielson and Suzuki match.
Yeah.
As the first match. And had the Punk match as the last match, because there's no following that match. There's no following.
I think they're starting to realize that now, that there is no following Danielson's matches. And I hate to tell them that even if you put him with Moxley, he's going to have the best match Moxley's ever had.
You know, I don't doubt it. I really don't doubt it right now.
And I think that's going to dampen Hangman Page if they are going to give him the title, which...
So let's cut to the point.
Yeah.
Danielson versus Suzuki.
Amazing.
I mean, we were talking about the Danielson and Jackson match being the best Rampage match. I think we have an undisputed champion now.
This was great. This was up there with Omega. They went out there for
three. Honestly, I think this match was better. I mean, really? Maybe it's because I saw this match on TV, and I honestly feel matches on TV normally translate better than when you watch it live. I like
the camera. Do you think it's 5 stars? Do you think Dave gives it 5 stars?
I think so.
Do you think he gives it more than 5 stars?
No.
Okay.
I think it's right there with Omega and Danielson. I just think this kind of match is more of what I like. It was very hard hitting. It was very impactful.
And you could hear those strikes.
And it was, and it felt like a Japanese match.
Yeah, it felt like a G1.
What I love. You know, we talk about the WWE style a lot and how certain people still, you can sense it when they do moves, like Cody. You see the WWE style every time he works. Honestly, Moxley, when he's not doing the deathmatch stuff, and he's doing a regular wrestling match, I'm reminded of WWE within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just how he works. It's kind of safe in a way. Like, I don't know. Like, the way Moxley punches and strikes is very WWE. Same for Cody. And when it comes to Danielson, I mean, there is none of that. Like, it's like, the second he left, he was like, okay, so now I could do what I want to do again. And, like, all his strikes are impactful. But let's talk about that forearm that Suzuki hit Danielson with.
Dude, I saw it. You could hear it.
My God.
You could hear it in the arena.
I thought he knocked him out for real.
That was the thing. That was the cool thing. Is like you can actually hear these strikes.
I thought he had a concussion for real after that.
Oh, it was. There was some brutal shot, and I love the fact, you know, he did the, you know, the no sell of, you know, the kicks, and then Danielson did the same thing.
It was such a fantastic match, and this is the Danielson I love to see. I never liked Danielson in WWE. I just thought the style was kind of soft. No, I mean, anything in WWE is kind of soft. I mean, that's just the reality.
It's so great to have him away from WWE. It's like we got a whole new lease on life. It's like, why couldn't we have gotten this 3 years ago?
Jesus.
He did nothing there other than the Kofi thing. You brought it up. Yeah. What a waste of a comeback. Totally. I wish they released him. I wish he waited his contract out and just left. What he's doing now is, I'm sorry. I want to see him against Okada. I want to see him against Naito. I want to see him against everybody.
I want to see him against Tanahashi. Now, you know, I'm not a humongous Tanahashi fan. Like, I love Naito more. I probably like Okada more. I definitely like Will Ospreay more. I like Ibushi more. But, I mean, there's a whole bunch of Ishii. There's a whole bunch of wrestlers I like.
Ishii versus Danielson is going to be amazing.
But I can imagine Tanahashi and Danielson, and the psychology of that match would be amazing. I could already imagine it.
To me, these are like, when they get him, they need to be smart, not just give these all away. These need to be, I mean, just, they need to get him on the dome. He needs to be on the dome show.
And here's another thing that we should touch on. Right after this, you get Punk versus Seidel, right?
Yeah.
And I just read that comment that Roman said of CM Punk losing a step. And it's impossible to not agree watching CM Punk versus Matt Sydal right after seeing Danielson versus Suzuki. Because let's say, like, 8 years ago. I think we both have always agreed Danielson has always been a better wrestler. But it never felt like it was dramatic, like the gap was dramatic. It feels like the gap is dramatic right now. Like, right now, it feels dramatic.
I don't feel like Punk can have the match that we want to see him have with Omega.
He's doing Hulk Hogan spots. Like the test of strength and body slap. Like, I get it. I really do get it.
I told the guy next to me, I said, do you think Punk could maybe do like Hef Seidel, do like the shooting star press, and he catches him into the GTS? He looked at me like, I don't know about that.
You know, but like 8 years ago, he definitely could have done that.
I mean, that to me, that was the finish to do. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, man. Now, don't get me wrong. The GTS looks good. And honestly, I feel like he does the GTS better now than he did in WWE. But yeah, that's about the only thing I feel he's doing now better than he did in WWE. You know, like, I want to see, I expect when a wrestler goes to AEW to be better than their WWE counterpart.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's been 8 years and he's fighting guys that nobody can take seriously.
But we know he's doing that by choice.
I know. I know that he's wrestling the way he's wrestling by choice. But now I'm starting to feel like, can he turn it on when he needs to, though? Because now I'm starting to doubt it. Because you get Danielson, and he's been on literally since day one. he's only had the green light. I haven't seen Danielson even have a normal match.
No, he hasn't. And that's what's great. I'm like, please. I'm hoping this Bobby Fish match that I see tomorrow is going to be like.
Of course it's going to be great. But it's not going to be better than the Suzuki.
No, it's not going to be that. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the Bobby Fish match. That was so throwaway.
Here's another thing. This is what I don't like.
Also, what's somebody using Escargot at.
What's the show, though? Like, what's the A show? It's Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Then why does Danielson's biggest matches happen on Rampage and not Dynamite? Why is Suzuki and Danielson not on Dynamite?
It wasn't even on Rampage. It was on the buy-in.
Exactly. Like, what is this? But now you put on Dynamite a Fish versus Danielson. Like, you get it? Like, you're... there's no escalation. There's de-escalation. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to see things ramp up, not ramp down and ramp up and ramp down. Like, I don't like this peaks and valleys thing. I want to see somebody go up. See, right now it's starting to feel like Hangman Page is going to win the title. And when we get Omega versus Danielson, it's got to be a non-title match.
I think that's a mistake.
I think that's a mistake as well, but I think that's where it's going.
I honestly don't feel the momentum for Hangman that people. I'm gonna be at the show tomorrow. He's probably gonna be on that show.
Yeah, he will be. He will.
I'll take the temperature and let's see what it feels. But I just don't feel it. I feel like the match everybody wants to see is Danielson and Omega 2.
Yeah.
And I just think, and then Punk, but as we're seeing with Punk, can Punk have the match that we want to see, or is it just going to be a WWE style match? Is he going to be doing?
Here's the thing. I don't think Punk is doing a WWE style match. Well, I mean, not a 2021 WWE style match. He's doing like a 1980s WWE
style match. Is he going to have Is he going to try and do Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, but with Omega in Punk?
And look, I'm not – that would be a good match.
That's not what I'm going to see out of it.
But that's not – but that wouldn't be a great match. And that's what we want. I've always naturally compared Danielson and Punk. And something I would always say is, even though Danielson was a better worker, CM Punk had the most classic matches that I could think of. And the last month or two, that's already gone.
I feel like Danielson's going to, I mean, you said it. He hasn't had one ordinary match. Every match he's had has been amazing. It's like,
I think this might be the best run of his career.
And I think that's what he's trying to do. And I'm that's why I'm like, Dave, you better put him in Wrestler of the Year, because he's everybody he's working with is, it's not just that he's having good matches. He's having the best matches, and he's having it in different ways. It's not a patterned match.
Every match is different. Every match is different. All his finishes tend to be different. And he could beat you with the knee. He could beat you with the cattle mutilation. And he could beat you with the yes lock. Yeah. With the lapel lock, whatever.
Call it yes lock anymore. I mean, he doesn't even acknowledge
it. It wouldn't even surprise me if he won with a dragon suplex, you know.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I could see him doing that. But the match.
Oh, yeah, he wins with the knockout elbows, with the elbows as well.
Yeah, he could win with that too. I mean,
he used to win in ROH with that all the time.
Yeah. Well, what's the match? I was watching a little bit of it. The Morishima, you know, chain match, mm-hmm. where he took the chain around his neck and banged Morishima's like neck.
I guess let's talk a little bit about SmackDown.
Yeah.
So right after the Punk match, it was very interesting. They were doing the Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks match during the
Punk. How was that match?
Huh?
How was that match?
Didn't you listen? I was watching the CM Punk match.
Saw it afterwards.
No. I'm good. Yeah. I might watch it tomorrow, but for what? Really, for what?
Exactly.
I heard the match was good, but I don't really care
about it. I heard they did another shitty finish, though. So,
Whatever. It's WWE. They always do a shitty finish. But I did watch right after the Punk match because I had a feeling. I didn't know they announced the Brock and Roman segment, but I had a feeling.
These
motherfuckers are gonna go with that. I know they're gonna have Brock
and Roman. And what did AEW counter program that with? Ruby Riott versus
They were giving them that segment. They were conceding that there might be a portion that might switch over, but how big of a crossover is there between people that watch Rampage and SmackDown?
Well, that's what we're going to find out with these ratings.
The Danielson Suzuki match, for what I saw, peaked at 98,000 people live. So it was below 100,000, like I said it would be.
Yeah, you were right. You were right. I don't know why they didn't put that on the show.
It should have been. It just doesn't work, man.
It's almost the equivalent of putting Danielson on the pre-show of a pay-per-view.
I mean, the video overall got 321,000 views so far. But the match, while it was going, was 98,500.
So, that's, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're right. You're right. You know, they should have probably closed the show with Punk and Matt Sydal and do Danielson Suzuki. Why is that? I don't know. I really don't know why they did that. But I don't know.
Also, in regards to SmackDown, Edge had an Undertaker promo to open the show.
Is that kind of what he is now? He's like Vince's new Undertaker.
I guess Zelina Vega is in the finals of the Queen's whatever.
The Queen of the Ring.
Finn Balor is in the finals of the King's whatever.
I'm waiting for Finn Balor to leave, and I actually said that to the New Japan people at the beginning, like, you know, because they mentioned, you know, they were like, I'm still trying to figure out why he lost to a top rope. I'm like, yeah, I think we all are. It's like, I'm waiting for him to leave and become Prince Devitt again.
Everybody is waiting for him to
Finn
leave.
Finn Balor in WWE is just, oh God, it's horrible. I can't stand it. I don't know why Cesaro re-signed either. What an idiot. You know, he's like, oh, they're going to take me seriously. No, they're not. You're right back where you were.
The money's good, probably. The money's good. Like, let's be honest. He goes to AEW. Would he really be that much higher than he is right now?
I don't know. Depends on if he shows.
I don't think so. Yeah, he ain't better than Bryan Danielson.
No.
He ain't more over than CM Punk. No. Adam Cole. It's too much. ROH. He could go to ROH and be pretty decent.
That would be such a step down.
He could go to TNA.
Going to ROH.
So, like, if the question is between WWE,
probably and TNA, the worst over the top service I have ever seen in my life.
Oh my God!
They don't even have an app.
You should get a refund for that. You should get a refund.
I kind of want
that.
A refund. I'm kind of like, this is lame. He's giving a refund.
Like, for real.
It's so lame.
So,
I can't. Also, there's no, like, you know how you have like the Apple mirror where you can put it on like the TV? You can't do that. You can't do it with the ROH thing. So you have to just watch it through an iPad or a computer screen. No way.
But see, this episode marks possibly the beginning of the real war between WWE and AEW.
Yeah.
My instinct from what they literally put their hottest things in the last 30 minutes. They did the Sasha and Becky match. And Roman and Brock all within that 30 minutes. And I think we both knew that's exactly what they were going to do.
Of course.
And I think they're trouncing them. I think they're going to trounce them.
I don't. If it was on regular Fox, yes. But since it's on FS1 and they're on TNT, that changes things a little bit. They've got a little bit of an edge.
It's more of an even fight.
Because
the last SmackDown on FS1, I think it did over 100,000 or something.
It did okay, but like,
I don't know how the demos look for that. They threw everything in that 30 minute period.
But here's the thing: WWE also has the fans that, like, if they can't find it, they just turn the TV off. They don't go looking for it.
Yeah, you know, but it's Fox.
Yeah, I know, but it's FS1. If they can't find FS1.
They found FS1 the last time they did the show on FS1. They were promoting SmackDown the whole day on the sports channel. On, like, you know, like Undisputed and all the morning sports shows. So
it's going to be interesting to see what those ratings are going to be.
I'm very, very interested to see. Today and tomorrow. But more today than tomorrow. Because, I mean, it's Saturday. It's a weird day. It's not normally. It'd be very interesting if they got a really hot rating. Because if they did, I would say change Rampage to Saturday ASAP. Like, immediately. If Dynamite gets a really good rating for...
Danielson Suzuki match is just amazing.
Yeah. I'm more convinced they need a move. That 10 o'clock does not work. And more importantly, I want to see what happens tomorrow. Because I really believe if they get a good rating, anything revolving around 700 to 800 at least, I would move Rampage to Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. Friday, and I put it 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Friday's not a good night. Let's be honest. Nobody watches SmackDown that watches AEW. It's a very small percentage. So you...
Well, these ratings
shouldn't fear going head to head. But if you do, just do a Saturday because those guys are probably willing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I thought, going back to the Punk match and Matt Sydal match, I thought this was one of his better matches that he's had since being.
I think Punk has gotten better with every match. I think he's ramping up. I get what he's doing. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm thinking Omega and Punk. And I'm also thinking he's not ready.
And then he's also thinking Omega Wardlow.
And I'm thinking Punk and Danielson. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking... Danielson is going to have to carry this man. And I never thought I'd say Danielson has to carry CM Punk. I felt like Danielson was always a better wrestler, but Punk was like maybe a notch below, but overall better package because he was such a better promo.
But Danielson's like on a whole nother level now.
Yeah. Danielson's a lot better promo. He's nowhere near Punk, but he's a lot better promo now than he was.
Have that edge Punk has.
Yeah,
that like is just naturally in there.
But right now, Danielson's a better package.
His matches are
out of this world, and his talking has been a lot better in the last couple of years. I mean, he's not a bad promo. He used to be a bad promo. He is not a bad promo anymore. He's a pretty decent promo. And he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And is I would say definitely top five.
Yeah, dude. He's
you said the he's the best right now.
Him and Okada is the...
Yeah, it's like it's between him, Okada, Omega, Ospreay, Takagi. Like I think does probably the top five for me. I don't know which one is the best. To me, any one of those five guys could be number one.
I wouldn't be surprised if they pull an AJ Styles and have Danielson win the damn thing. You know?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't just win the, you know, they don't just give him the title. I don't know, he's like on another level now. I didn't think he had this. I mean, I always knew he was good, but you know, like
I didn't think he had this gear. There was actually a talk like a couple months ago whether he was even better than Zack Sabre Jr., which is now laughable.
He's every match he has had has been amazing.
And let's see
what he does with Bobby Fish.
Nah.
An amazing match with Bobby Fish?
He can't make a miracle happen, but I mean, Bobby Fish is a good worker. I mean, he might be able to pull something there.
Watch him have like the most amazing match ever. And we
hasn't had a mediocre match yet. Like,
I mean, the most mediocre match you could say is that 8-man tag. But that's.
I mean, I don't count that. I don't count tag team matches.
I don't either.
Unless it's 2-on-2 and built.
Here's the thing about the Suzuki match. I feel like they could do even more. They could have another match and it'd be just as good.
You know what's funny? Like, I was thinking, what does Suzuki think about his excursion to AEW before this match? I was like, he probably was like, It's not even that, like, eh. And then after this match, he's like, oh, oh, I didn't know you guys knew.
Like, I haven't liked any of the Suzuki matches he's had in AEW. No,
they haven't felt like Suzuki matches. They felt like half baked Moxley like matches.
The match you got to see in Grand Slam at Rampage, like I didn't like that.
It wasn't a real main event Suzuki match.
I feel like if Moxley does face Danielson, if that's where they are going with, Danielson's gonna be like, "We're not doing that. We're not doing that garbage match."
You never know. He might say we're gonna do that garbage match, but we're gonna make it the best garbage match of all time.
It might be.
Well, it probably wouldn't be a garbage match, but he'd probably say, Danielson's "Okay, what you want to
do?" I don't see Danielson doing like thumbtacks and stupid crap like that, like Omega did.
Hey, you never know. You never know. You
think he was going to do thumbtacks?
Because everything Danielson has done so far has been completely different than the last match. The opponents that he's faced have all been different as well. It would make sense that he would decide to do some of those hardcore things for a match with Moxley, because that's not something he does.
A brawling match, but I don't see him using like weapons.
I could see Moxley using weapons, and I could see him translating that in a Danielson fashion.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he did do the matches from CZW. Remember they did the CZW ROA?
The invasion. with Chris Hero and all of those guys.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is the great ones translate their opponent's style and make it something different. So it would make sense that he would do it for Moxley because that's his style. And then he'll probably never do it again.
I'm
excited. And it, like, right now, I'm giving Danielson the stamp of approval. Until he shows me that he could do wrong, he can't do no wrong.
He is. Dude, I was sitting there in awe watching that match. I was like, oh my God, this is like the greatest match I've seen.
Oh man, you imagine when he faces Adam Cole.
Oh my God, that's going to be great. Adam Cole.
The crowd would be erupting for that match.
That's why I just think it's a mistake to take the title off Omega. It's money to be made.
There's too many matches with Omega.
What matches are there with Hangman?
Nothing.
I mean, I don't want to see Danielson and Hangman. It's like at this time. Maybe later. I mean,
hey, look, maybe Khan knows something we don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he knows Hangman's not winning.
Hey, I just remember Triple H was a jobber when he won the title the first time.
Yeah.
Then he had the match with Mick Foley, and then I took him more serious.
Yeah, he did have those matches. And then we found out that that's the only matches he really could do well. Then you realize, like, all he could do is weapons matches.
Damn, there's a little truth to that.
When you look at his 2000 run, most of them are like no DQ bloodbath matches. They were not in-ring spectaculars with, you know, like he wasn't Kobashi.
No, he would. he was never Kobashi.
You know. You know, he never had any matches like that.
He wasn't even Kobashi or Misawa in his own company, much less actually in all wrestling.
I don't know. Triple H
was never the guy. He was the guy that worked with the guy.
He's a B-plus player.
He's a B-plus player.
It really is.
I mean, honestly, after the shit he did to Punk, he's B-minus.
He's B-minus player.
I still am waiting for one person to defend me. Why the hell Triple H beat CM Punk in that Night of Champions match? I'm still waiting for somebody to sell me on that match result.
I just remember trying to being like, well, he got the kick out of the pit. And it's just like, I just remember watching. It's like, what a stupid. It just killed. I was like,
this. And then he stopped wrestling right after. Like, he went back to being COO.
And here's the funny thing. The guy who screwed him, Kevin Nash,
he wrestled him.
Triple H has the match with him.
And it sucked. And the match sucked.
And they put him in a ladder
match. Kevin Nash couldn't even move. Like,
they put him in a ladder match.
What brain? Like, why would you put Kevin Nash in a ladder match when he can barely move? It's like, what is it with WWE and their idiocy? Like, it's... You know how the Paul Heyman way is to hide the weakness, accentuate the strength. With WWE, it's the exact opposite. You can walk, then you gotta run. you can work. We want you in angles all day.
You can't talk. We want you to talk.
20 minutes. You can't do high spots. We want you in a Hell in a Cell match.
Almost. We want you to face Brock Lesnar. You can't work. Oh my God. You know that they're going to push that Almost guy to the moon. And he's horrible. He can't do anything.
He'll be fine just like Braun Strowman.
Yeah. No. Braun Strowman had some ability. This guy doesn't.
Yes, but he's the next Braun Strowman. Look, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Big Show replaced Kane.
Yeah.
Haphazardly. Then Braun Strowman replaced Big Show. Even though Braun was worse than Big Show. And now Omos is worse than Braun. And then some new guy's got to come in that's worse than Omos. It's the way. It's how they do things.
Oh, we can't wait.
They replace guys with somebody who's worse, but taller.
Yeah.
They'll get like an 8 feet dude. Oh, that wait. Barely move.
Oh,
Ryback?
No, you missed the guy who replaced Big Show, the Great Khali.
Oh, yeah, the Great Khali. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
He can barely move.
They fired him too.
He can barely move. He couldn't even pin people.
He had to step on them.
And then they gave him a title and they had to take it off of him. He couldn't do anything.
It was like, you can't move, then you gotta have a 15-minute match.
They did. They put him in triple threat matches.
He would stay on the sidelines for the entire match.
Before they just had Batista beat him. Get him out of here. And I'm like, you idiot.
Did he lose to a spear? Like the
he lost the spine buster.
The spine buster, okay.
Lost the spine buster.
You know his ass wasn't gonna get up for a power bomb.
Well, remember they created the Punjabi prison match, and because they didn't trust his work, they had to do Big Show and the Undertaker. For his own match. They made up a match specifically for him. I remember some fan going, WWE 2K needs to add the Punjabi prison match. I'm like, for what?
And to keep alive the gimmick, Great Khali can't join it.
I just remember when they first put him in the video games, like nobody could lift him up for a body slam. Like that was the thing.
I remember that. I remember that. With Great Khali, you do like 3 body slams and the guy's body would be red.
Yeah.
And then you just do the bear hug and beat him.
Oh my God, what a horrible worker he was.
You know how bad you gotta be for you to not even be in your own gimmick match.
Also, remember at SummerSlam, he's supposed to wrestle the Taker. They didn't trust him, so they did the match on SmackDown. So they could tape it. But they still, and they still kept going. He made a match for him that he couldn't even do. Oh, my. WWE is so bad. And you're right. That's what they're going to do. They're going to find another. They'll find an 8 feet tall man.
It's what they do, man. It's what they do. It's just sad because it's so clear that Vince is going to war with Tony.
Did you see?
Cannot argue. They literally went with Sasha and Becky, two of their biggest stars, and then Brock and Roman. Like, you literally have 4 of your biggest stars all within the last 30 minutes.
They gave away all this shit on a show.
On FS1. They didn't even do this for Fox last week. But no, they're not in competition. They just did do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you heard Roman. They're not competition. I'm like, I'll tell that to your boss.
You know how embarrassing it would be if they lost this week after he just said that?
I actually hope they do. It's just so
you know, who are they going to blame for their rating?
Oh, I'm sure they'll find. Well, did you see the interview? Stephanie McMahon. Yeah, that's right. They'll blame.
Sure. They're not going to blame Brock. They're not going to blame Roman. Are they going to blame Becky? I don't think so.
They're going to blame Paul Heyman.
It was
an imposter. It's your fault.
It was an imposter.
It was an imposter. Did you see Stephanie McMahon did that interview and she said, "We the WWE, we listen to our fans. We give them what they want." And like all the comments were like, "What show are you watching? What show are you watching that you give the fans what they want?" It took you like 30 years to figure out that Roman needed to be a heel. Oh, wow. What a shock. That ended up working. We could have done that like 10 years ago.
The best-selling heel in WWE history. Apparently.
The same thing would have happened with Cena.
Yeah.
But they couldn't figure that out either. They're like different people.
People really, like, they actually thought that because he turned heel, he would stop selling merch.
Yeah, well, and that was all it was going to do is.
Because the NWO never sold merch despite being a heel faction.
Maybe in Vince's mind, they were like the top heel. They sold so much merchandise. Not even funny.
And DX was a heel faction too, and they still sold man merch too.
Yeah, until Vince started turning them into a face faction. It's so weird. You just once you give it to Vince, he'll ruin it. Like, it was great at first because you had Shawn and Triple H, and they were both assholes in real life. So
it worked.
They really were assholes. You know, I don't know if you ever read that thing when they went out to the fans were throwing things, so they just decided not to show up. Some fans rioted.
Yeah, I remember. No. The story was they went to the show and somebody threw something at Sean and Sean looked down at the place where the thing got thrown and then he just went back to his car And it was like,
No, that was the public workout. He did that as well. That was the Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Multiple somebody threw batteries and hit him in the ear.
multiple no-shows.
Yeah. But no, this was like in Arkansas. They just, you know, they saw that the fans were throwing things, so they just decided not to come out. So they announced on the PA, there will be no main event. So the fans rioted. Like, he's just nuts. But this is the guy that they went with over Brett.
So what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Do you think Bray is coming out?
I don't know. They could. It would be an interesting thing for them to do. I would have done it tonight, but you know.
I would stop doing stuff on Rampage. Because for what? Nobody watches it.
I know, but Tony doesn't want it to be a B-show.
But it is a B-show. It doesn't matter whether you want it to be or not. It's a B-show. Hey, bro. I went to Grand Slam, okay?
Yeah.
It's a B-show. Believe me, it's a B-show. Okay?
I mean, I don't know. They need to get another night. We've said that.
It's a B show. It's a B. Everything about it is B. It's in a B time slot. It's in a B time slot. Right after prime time. Not even prime time. After prime time. Okay. It's in a B time slot. It's in a B day. Friday. You know, because people want to watch wrestling at 10 p.m. on a Friday fucking night, right? Yeah, nobody.
That's a little bit better than ROH and their 12 a.m.
Who? ROH? They got 12 in their own channel?
I think so. Doesn't
Sinclair own them?
Yeah, but they think they suck too.
Damn, that's sad.
Here you go. Here's 12.
The channel owns you, and they're like, "Nah, your graveyard shift." Damn, you're in the graveyard. Your job is to be watched by a bunch of degenerates and people that watch hentai.
We want to appeal to a new demographic. Oh my God. So, yeah, maybe Bray shows up tomorrow, which would be interesting. I mean, he let out that Instagram post.
He did.
Why would you leave? Why? Out of all the days.
Yeah, but wrestlers always do that. They always tease shit. It raises your value.
What did he say? I'm going to feed you to the birds or something. Is he doing a birds gimmick?
I think it was like baby birds need to be fed or something.
Is that supposed to be referring to Roman?
Let me check. I think it was based off the comment.
Is it based off the Roman comment?
Yeah, about being babied.
Oh, yeah, he was saying they're being babied.
Don't worry, I'll feed your baby birds.
WWE is so stupid. They gave them that guy. That guy is going to give them so much merch.
He's still WWE Bray Wyatt.
Wait, what?
His account is still WWE Bray Wyatt.
On Twitter?
Yes.
Interesting. Maybe he's like, look, I'm not changing it until you finish paying me. I don't know. I can't see him going back there. I mean, the reason he left is because, you know.
No, I don't think he's going back. It's just
he knows Vince insane. I mean,
it's just interesting he hasn't changed his name is all.
I'm sure he probably was like the rest of us, is like, okay, so you want me to go to WrestleMania? I come back and I lose.
Another thing that I took away from the show was Sammy Guevara is a star.
Oh yeah. Oh, huge. Huge star. When, like, he came out, he was.
But he was soaking up the crowd during all his spots in that tag match, and he nailed all of those spots.
Oh, dude, perfect. That was somebody. Yeah, that's somebody I wanted to talk about. Is, yeah, Sammy Guevara is really over.
Like, yeah, man. Really. I was amazed. As somebody who said that he was like the weakest of the pillars, and I didn't really see it, the last couple of weeks, man, he's been shining. And I was concerned that he went back with Jericho and Hager, thinking that they were just going to put him back and it would go back to just Jericho, jobbing some new guy
the
out.
The thing that he does really good is he has a really expressive face. His face
he's
is very
a star.
Impressive.
He's a star. He's a great wrestler.
I could
wrestler.
See him surpassing a Darby. This Darby kind of has his shtick, like we said. It's Jeff Hardy. But yeah. I feel there's a limit. There's a ceiling to a Jeff Hardy.
I don't think there's a ceiling to a Jeff Hardy. Let's be honest, Jeff Hardy was at one point the most popular wrestler in the world.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, and before him, you had RVD, was also very popular. He was out cheering Stone Cold in 2001.
Yeah, that was the time. Well, that's why they should have put the title on him in 2002. I remember when they did the Phantom change with Taker.
I don't think there's a limit to that kind of over, because that kind of over can be explained. That's just a person that has a special kind of charisma. I don't know if Darby will be the most popular of the four, but I know he is the most popular of the four right now.
Yes, right now, yes.
And I don't know if there's a ceiling to him. You know,
I don't know. I just think Sammy could be like, he might be their star.
Jungle Boy could also be, you know.
Jungle Boy, though.
To me, the most obvious one is MJF. As far as a promo,
Sammy's learning to talk.
MJF has a Roddy Piper element to him.
Yeah, he does. The problem is his matches are just.
Average,
and the more and more you've got guys like Danielson who are like just upping the more people see that New Japan style and see those kind of matches, the more they're going to be like, you need to be that good. This is just it's gonna be hard. I mean, I could already see it even with the Punk match. It's like, you know, a lot of people, you know, they were into the Punk spots. But it wasn't the same kind of over that, like, the way that the Suzuki match did. The Suzuki match was everybody was, like, kind of just absorbed in this thing that we're watching.
They kept escalating the match.
Yeah.
They were working that crowd perfectly. Because they're stars. Matt Sydal is a jobber. Let's be completely honest here.
Evan Bourne.
I agree. If you put Punk with a star at the level of Suzuki, I don't think he would have got the match that Danielson got.
No.
But it would be better, because I think crowds are already a little tuned out because they know that Punk is going to win. So well, now they're just waiting for the go to sleep.
And that's kind of what I'm seeing, is people kind of tune out in the match. I mean, they get into certain spots, but, like, nobody – I don't think
anybody – I mean, they pop really big for the go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, they pop for the spots.
the feeling of the crowd. You
the
don't
match. Get they're it. Not popping for the match. They're yeah, popping they, for spots.
They don't feel like it's like a WWE.
A WWE crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bringing like a WWE feel to it. Like they're not really, I don't think anybody really feels like this guy is going to lose. There's no danger to Punk, really.
It just, yeah, I mean, Darby was nah,
Darby's closest. No.
He was the closest, but he wasn't even that close.
I mean, I thought if anybody was going to beat Punk, I thought maybe him.
Chicago on the first night? That's so WWE. That's Brock Lesnar and John Cena. Remember?
I don't think it'd be that. I think it'd be more like Punk, like putting over the new guy and being like, I want to be the guy that has to strive to win or something. I don't know.
No, that would have been terrible. That would have been jobber shit. Of course, there's a way to make anything work, but no. Yeah. I'm so tired of people trying to make losing streak gimmicks work. That does not work unless you're Kobashi. Okay, you can't just be Joe Flo or whatever the fuck and expect to like win and get over because you're losing all the time.
Escargot. They were chanting Escargot at Bobby Fish.
Nobody gives a fuck about Bobby Fish, man. He's a good worker and all, but let's be honest, Bobby Fish.
I'm sorry, but Bobby
Fish. Named after a fish.
Stone Cold Steve Austin versus
Bobby Fish. I kind of feel like he should be a chess player.
Austin be like, what are you? What, you like fish or something?
Are you related to Bobby Fischer?
Are you related to a trout? What?
You like
salmon? I said, are you related to trout?
You like salmon? You like your grilled?
Should I eat you?
What?
I feel like I should have a steak.
You like it fried? What?
What was your? What's your mother's name? Catfish? Jesus.
What?
I don't know. I've never understood why he kept the name Bobby Fish. I'm just like, dude. It's the same reason I think Dolph Ziggler sounds like a stupid name.
How are you supposed to become a star with a name like Dolph Ziggler? His career was done the second that name was picked out.
I remember when they had The Rock on and he goes,
"Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler."
The Rock was like, "What's a Dolph Ziggler?" Making fun of the name, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's a stupid name. Dolph Ziggler. Oh God, the WWE has the worst names. Almost. It sounds like a joke."
It just reminds me of Austin. Like, these are the geniuses that make the names that make Ross, the WWF superstars.
Ross McFreeze, Ice Daggers. And the other one was Baron Von Ruth.
Oh my God, they're so bad, bro.
It sounds like a 1930s villain. Coming to the ring, Baron Von Ruthless. Stupid name. You might as well have just named Austin Fin Fang Foom. Oh my God. They came up with the ringmaster. He's the master of the ring. He's like, he knows this sucks. The ringmaster. What do you think of DiBiase having to pay back all this money?
He's he really still a carny a piece of shit.
He really is a $1 million man.
Yeah, not for nothing, but that just reminded me, it's like, hell yeah, still a carny.
Oh my God. Remember he said, I don't want my son's hero to be a guy who curses and does like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I want my son to look up to me embezzling money from the government.
No, I'm an embezzlement. And all three of the kids are, all two of the kids are involved.
He's like isn't the one worst. Of
them in, isn't one of them in jail?
I doubt it. SmackDown sucked. They have the Edge as the Undertaker now. Like,
well, that's
talking about that's souls.
Well, I used to always love Austin when he would be like, you come out here talking about wanting my soul and wanting this and the ministry of darkness. Like,
I know I'm going to kick your ass.
Austin. I'm going to take that foot out of the grave and put it in your ass. I always felt like Austin would be like, it would be like, this is stupid. What my soul?
And Edge was like making a voice, like he was trying to make a Batman voice.
Oh, like, God. Yeah, that's what's happened. He's become the he's become Vince's, because Vince doesn't have the Undertaker anymore, so he needs a new supernatural. He doesn't have the Fiend. So he now has Edge. This is their new
Brood flag. Edge. Brood Edge.
Brood Edge. He's gonna bring back Gangrel.
Well, no, because he went to AEW and now they don't want him anymore.
We don't want him anymore. Oh my God.
So
is WWE pretending like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar have never fought before?
I don't think they're insulting the intelligence that bad. I think they realize that they wrestled enough times where you can't really get away with that. I mean, they wrestled like 7 times in 1 year. Like,
he was the only guy that fucking fought Brock. It felt like at the big show.
Especially in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, blood money.
Yeah.
All right, any other thoughts on Rampage?
I thought that Suzuki and Danielson match is one of the greatest matches in AEW history.
Was on the buy-in.
Huh?
That was the prelude to Rampage.
And that was before the actual show. It wasn't even on TV. You had maybe a little over 150,000 people that watched it live, 98.5 people. 98,500 people watched it. I think you would have been much better served if it was on Rampage to open the show. A lot more eyeballs.
They had it as the dark match.
That's a match that you should put on TV. How do you not put that match on TV?
I don't know. I don't know why, what the thinking is here. Why are they? I don't know. Nobody's given me a reason why it wasn't on Rampage.
I feel like Eric Bischoff would have made sure that was on Rampage.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think Eric Bischoff would have got you another hour.
Yeah. I don't know.
You cannot tell me he wouldn't get another hour. Because
he did. Yeah, he probably could have gotten another hour.
That's the only thing. I just feel like somebody is trying to fight to go for the kill, and the other one is just doing their own thing, which is good in one way, but I mean, I would counter program more aggressively. Well, not counter program. I would be more aggressive with the going head to head. Doing that on YouTube is not aggressive. Like, to me, that's not aggressive. It should have been on TV.
Yeah. It should have.
Put it on TBS.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, that was one of the best matches ever.
Yeah.
So good. And with that, I think that about does it. So for me, for CD Scent,
if they don't make money,
I beat you with you. Mess. And
man, shut up with that stupid Kenny Omega shit. That cosplay wrestler shit.
Give the last line.
If it don't make money, it don't make sense. Peace.